For most of the pandemic, Vermont's Northeast Kingdom had relatively few cases of COVID-19, but that has changed in recent weeks. VPR's Anna Van Dyne looked into what that means for the region.
Until a few weeks ago, Jason Bruick felt relatively safe from COVID-19. He's a resident of Newport, a father of three, and runs an outdoor learning program in Derby. Taking precautions for the camp he ran over the summer felt surreal.
Like with masks and all this other kind of stuff and the sanitizing with the camp and everything, like you're in the middle of a pandemic when it's essentially not happening around you.
From the onset of the pandemic until mid-October, only 65 positive cases of COVID-19 had been identified in the Northeast Kingdom. Six in Essex County, 35 in Caledonia, and 24 in Orleans.
You know, there was a period of time, I think, like maybe in May, like where I felt like if you'd analyzed the number of traffic fatalities we'd have had in Orleans County compared to the number of positive COVID cases, the traffic fatalities probably would have been more.
He's almost right. There was one traffic fatality there in May and one COVID case. But now that's changing. Case counts have been on the rise statewide, and for the first time in the pandemic, that includes the kingdom. In November, over 100 positive coronavirus cases were identified in Orleans County, where Jason Bruick lives. More than 200 cases were identified in the Northeast Kingdom as a whole. Even Essex County, which previously averaged less than a single case per month, saw its case count nearly quadruple in November. And rising cases have consequences. Catherine Sims is the director of the Northeast Kingdom Collaborative.
It feels like we're on a precipice of like real long-term structural damage.
The kingdom has the highest percentage of households without reliable broadband in Vermont. Affordable housing can be hard to find there. Many people hold more than one job. Households live in higher rates of poverty than the rest of the state. Rates of food insecurity are also high.
And that was all pre-COVID. And as we know, it's just, you know, exaggerated and highlighted those structural inequities.
These problems are by no means unique to the region, but in many cases, they're worse there. And this leaves the kingdom particularly vulnerable to the effects of the pandemic. Alexandra Banach is a pediatrician at North Country Hospital in Newport, and she worries most about the ripple effects school closures could have in the kingdom. As cases go up, more teachers are likely to be out of school.
If you have two or three teachers out because they're, you know, under investigation or quarantining or sick, that can be what tips as one of our small schools to having to close.
And if schools close, Banach worries, many kids would lose reliable access to food. At some schools in the kingdom, more than 80% of students qualify for free and reduced lunch. And in a place where 13 to 32% of households are underserved by broadband, remote classes aren't always an option. Students could fall behind or lose access to school's emotional support. And if kids are home, childcare, if there's even access to it, becomes more complicated.
We have a lot of families where we have both parents working full time and sometimes more than one job, and they don't have the means to supervise the kids at home.
This second wave of the pandemic is different from the first for economic reasons, too, says Catherine Sims of the NEK Collaborative. During the shutdown this spring,
we were both less at risk for actual exposure to the virus and supported while our economy contracted.
Financial stimulus from state and federal governments helped those who were unemployed, self-employed, ran small businesses, like Jason Brick, who we heard from earlier. He got a PPP loan to support his outdoor learning program. And Sim says that money has helped the region weather COVID better than it might have otherwise.
But that's drying up right at the time when cases are peaking.
It's hard to say with certainty why the region avoided the pandemic as it tore through surrounding parts of Vermont and New Hampshire earlier this year. In the eyes of North Country Hospital pediatrician Alexandra Banach, the lack of cases early on gave the kingdom a false sense of security.
For anybody in the healthcare community, it was evident that it was only a question of time.
That time has come. And just as it's hard to say why there were so few cases in the kingdom for so long, now it's hard to say why there are suddenly so many more. State officials have said some of the increase in Essex and Orleans counties is due to their proximity to the New Hampshire border. And like elsewhere in the state, some of the increase can likely be attributed to health guidelines that have gone unheeded or unheard altogether. Jason Brick, the father and business owner in Newport, knows there are several places where mask wearing isn't the norm. and it can be awkward.
The gal behind the counter is scrambling to try and find hers because she sees that I've got mine on and she probably should be wearing it and like doesn't want to make me feel bad. And it's just this kind of like, I don't know.
Along with the worst national surge of the virus yet, the dark, cold days of winter are upon us. Brooke says the difficulty of this time of year is, in some ways, what holds people together.
Like, at some point, your butt's going to be stuck in a ditch, you know, a snowbank, and you're going to need your neighbor to pull you out.
And masks or no masks, COVID or no COVID, that isn't going to change. For VPR News, I'm Anna Van Dyne.